Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this Best of the Pigskin Dispatch episode of the Football History Headlines for December 13th, we discuss the final NFL game of the 1931 season and the fact that that was the last year that ended the league champ to be selected by the one who had the best overall record. Championship games would follow, and it's carried on all the way through 100 years later, and the story comes up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and I would like to welcome you to the Football History Headlines and the Hall of Fame Birthdays edition of December 13th of this podcast of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. And we'll start off on December 13th in the year 1931 and talk about this was the final week of games played in the NFL season for 1931, and it also marked the final year that the league champion would be determined with the team with the best record. Yes, there was no championship game before that year. Scorum.com has a great write-up on the season of 1931, where the National Football League champions were the Green Bay Packers, who posted a 12-2-0 record, which was good enough for them to earn a third straight NFL title. The runners-up that year were the Portsmouth Spartans, who would later become the Detroit Lions, and the Spartans sported a record of 11-3 on that season. December 13, 1936, at the Polo Grounds in New York City, the Green Bay Packers win the franchise's first NFL championship game against the Boston Redskins. It was the final game in Boston before the franchise moved to Washington, D.C. The Packers' big 21-6 victory was sparked by Arnie Herber's aerial attack on the Redskins, according to a story published that day after the game on PackersNews.com. Don Hutson hauled in one of Herber's passes for a TD, while another receiver, Milt Gattenbein, scored on another. The third touchdown drive engineered by the Pack was set up by a couple more key pass plays. Each player on the Packers took home a nifty sum of $250 for their win, as the Boston players placed an extra $180 in their wallets after the game. Speaking of the Redskins, December 13, 1942, at Griffith Stadium in Washington, D.C., the Redskins franchise appeared in another NFL title tilt on the day of December 13th of 42. The 1942 edition of the National Football League Championship game saw the Washington Redskins upset the Bears of Chicago by one score in a 14-6 thriller final. Bob Carroll, in a great write-up on the Professional Football Writers Association periodical The Coffin Corner, Volume 18 from 1996, sets the scene. The Bears, if you remember from an earlier edition of the Football History Headlines, destroyed the Redskins in an embarrassing 73-0 drubbing in the 1940 NFL title game. Carroll goes on to remind us that the 42 Bears at 11-0 were probably even stronger adversary for the 10-1 Washington squad to face than 2 years earlier. With memories of their 73-point humiliation on their minds, the Redskins came into the contest literally loaded for bear. After a scoreless first stanza, the Bears changed the scoreboard with a 52-yard scoop and score of a Washington fumble. The Redskins responded with a Sammy Baugh as he tossed for a 39-yard touchdown pass to Wilt Moore, and Washington took the lead at the half with a successful PAT. The Redskins continued to frustrate the Bears' offense and used their own offensive weapon, running back Andy Farkas, to pound it out the heart of the Bears' defense with 10 carries on an 80-yard scoring drive. This was all that the Redskins needed to go on with their stifling defense to win the NFL title and upset the Bears. December 13, 1969, the Continental Football League plays its final game as it disbanded in 1970. The Continental, according to the Fun While It Lasted website, was started in 1965 and in its five seasons heralded 44 teams in its brief history, has combined teams from multiple second-tier leagues such as the Texas Football League and others to make a very widespread and diverse group. December 13, 1973, according to the History of College Football.com's website, Penn State running back John Cappelletti gave his moving Heisman Trophy acceptance speech. As we discussed earlier in the week on the football history headlines, Cappelletti dedicated the trophy to his ailing younger brother Joey, who had leukemia. December 13, 1997. The 63rd Heisman Trophy was quite historic, as was the first time, according to Heisman.com, that since college football shifted to a two-platoon system of an offensive team and a defensive team, that a two-way player won the coveted trophy. That player was Michigan's cornerback, Charles Woodson. The junior compiled some great stats for the 1997 season as he picked off seven passes and registered 43 tackles on defense. On the offensive side of the ball, he put up one touchdown on 11 receptions for 231 yards, and his kick return yardage set up many more successful Wolverine drives. It was all-around great play like that that Woodson earned the Heisman Trophy over a guy from the University of Tennessee that some of you might know, Peyton Manning. December 13, 1999, the Manhattan Downtown Athletic Club handed the 65th Heisman Trophy Award to running back Ron Dane of Wisconsin. Dane put up some gaudy numbers on the ground, according to Heisman.com. Dane capped off his senior season with 1,834 yards to enter into the realm that only four other players have ever accomplished in having four seasons rushing over the single-season 1,000-yard mark. The Dane train also set an NCAA record that still stands today when you total in his bowl games to reach a career rushing total of an amazing 7,125 yards on the ground in college. December 13, 2003, Jason White, Oklahoma's senior quarterback, won the 69th Heisman Trophy. White had to overcome two different ACL injuries during his collegiate career to settle into a true pocket passing style of quarterbacking, according to the Heisman Trophy's official website. From the shotgun formation, White threw for 3,744 yards and 40 touchdowns and only eight interceptions to lead the Sooners to an undefeated season. Jason White was also a unanimous All-American, won the AP's Player of the Year, the Consensus Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, and the Davey O'Brien Award, along with the Jim Thorpe Courage Awards. December 13, 2010, Auburn's Tigers quarterback Cam Newton took home the 76th Heisman Trophy Award. The junior signal caller, per the Heisman.com website, took the SEC and all of the NCAA football by storm as he used his legs and arm to slice through defenses. Newton registered 20 touchdowns and 1,409 yards on the ground and added another 28 scores and 2,589 yards through the air to take home the coveted hardware by a landslide. Cam was a 2010 AP Player of the Year and was a big reason that the Tigers took home the BCS title when they defeated Oregon in the championship game to cap off an awesome season. December 13, 2014, the 80th Heisman Trophy Award went to Marcus Mariota, the nifty quarterback from the University of Oregon. Mariota set a bunch of groundbreaking items, according to Heisman.com, as he became the first player of Polynesian descent, the first from the state of Hawaii, and the very first Oregon Duck to take home the trophy named after legendary coach John Heisman. The junior signal caller registered 3,783 yards in passing with 38 touchdowns and having only two passes picked off. Mariota also used his legs as he put up another 669 yards on the ground with 14 additional touchdowns for the Ducks. And oh, don't forget, he also hauled in a pass for another score on top of that. December 13, 2015. When you set an SEC record of 1,986 yards rushing in a season of the age where the SEC was arguably the strongest conference in the nation, you're going to take home the 81st Heisman Trophy Award. And that's exactly what Derrick Henry, Alabama's powerful running back, did. Henry also tied the conference's touchdown mark with 23 scores, according to Heisman.com. Derrick's 339 rushing attempts, along with his record yardage mentioned earlier, both led the nation in collegiate football. He capped off the brilliant season by adding another bruising 158 yards against Clemson to help the Crimson Tide win the national title. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday, so come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
Now it's time to talk about those Hall of Famer birthdays for this December 13th, and we're going to start off in the year 1911 on the birthday schedule in Louisville, Kentucky, and Fred Buzz Boris, the great Navy halfback, was born. Boris, according to the footballfoundation.org website, scored the only TD in the 1933 Navy 7-0 victory over Notre Dame. During the 1934 Army-Navy game, Buzz had 36 carries for the midshipman to help set up a Slade Cutter field goal to knock off the Cadets 3-0. The National Football Foundation selected Buzz Boris to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1960. Commander Fred Boris was also a decorated war hero who helped the vessels in his command win some stunning victories at sea, just like he did on a gridiron earlier in life. December 13, 1955, in Logansport, Indiana, the pride of Franklin College football program, Brad Crawford, who played cornerback for them, was born. Crawford's uncanny speed and quickness helped to make bad days for quarterbacks who opposed the Franklin Grizzlies secondary, per the NFF's website bio on him. In 1975, he registered 9 pass interceptions and had 25 in his college career to go with an outstanding kick return average of 25.9 yards. Brad Crawford was invited to have a place in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2000 to go along with his 1986 induction into the NAIA Hall of Fame. December 13, 1960, Richard Dent, the tenured 15-year NFL defensive end of the Chicago Bears, came into this life. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website, bio on the Tennessee product, he was picked by the Bears in the 1983 NFL draft in the 8th round. What a bargain find for Chicago had with that pick, as Dent dominated with 137.5 career sacks. Richard was part of one of NFL's greatest defenses, the 1985 Bears, under legendary coordinator Buddy Ryan. Dent was an All-Pro and went to the Pro Bowl 4 times, as he was well as being named to the Super Bowl 20 Most Valuable Player, as he and the Bears capped off a monster season by winning it all. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Richard Dent in the year 2011. December 13, 1961, Fullerton, California. Gary Zimmerman, the great tackle from the University of Oregon, came into this life. Gary Z enjoyed a productive 12-year NFL career after being picked third in the 1984 supplemental draft by the New York Giants. Zimmerman was best known, though, for anchoring the lines of the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos in his career. He was so dominant that, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website, he earned spots on 2 all-decade teams, both for the 1980s and the 1990s. Gary also was durable for most of his career, tallying 169 straight starts at one point. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Gary Zimmerman in 2008's enshrinement class. We're glad you could join us today for this December 13th podcast, but we hope you'll come back tomorrow for December 14th's football history headlines, as we talk about the Packers and Bears playing a rare postseason game against one another, and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame face off against the New York Giants. Yes, that sounds like an interesting one. And to make sure you get notified the second the next edition of this podcast is released, please put your mouse cursor over that subscribe button on your podcast player and make sure you hit it just like a middle linebacker hitting a wide receiver. You can also find all the episodes of your favorite podcast provider and on pigskinsdispatch.com or on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews and podcasts with an all-star cast of podcast hosts and guests to share some of the greatest moments in sports history. The partner podcasts of the Sports History Network include Joe Zimba with his When Football Was Football podcast, The Pigskin Pass with Joe Zagorski. Arnie Chapman brings pro football history to life with the Football History Dude podcast, while Mark Morthay covers a multi-sports history landscape with Yesterday Sports. Oz Davis also covers many great all-time great athletes in his Truly the Goats podcast, and John Gidley covers the forgotten NFL stories in his Football Attic. And speaking of forgotten, Warren Rogan presents his Forgotten Sports Heroes podcast, while Jeremy McFarlane produces his Football's Family cast. Tommy Phillips gives us a story on the Lombardi Memories podcast, and Aaron Harris gives us his Football Odyssey, while Andrew and Dan Newman examine the different sports of their Hello Old Sports series. You can find all these great podcasts, including the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, all together in one place, the sportshistorynetwork.com. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
It was just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's R-O-W number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20. At checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.